Previously on Idle Thumbs.
It's December 23rd, 2008.
And this is Idle Thumbs 11.
Hot scoop. Your mic is going to make mic farting noises.
I'm getting dots.
So you were saying you saw a thing about a blog and then you blogged about it? What Scoops. Do you think about that, Scoops?
They call you Scoops.
You do a trick combo on a ghost.
You grind a ghost.
Off of a ghost onto a poltergeist. Yeah. Do an ollie onto the fucking boogeyman.
That was the sound of a hot scoop being delivered.
What the hell does orange whip mean?
You know what the problem with video game journalism is?
It's hot scoops.
A fucking minotaur.
Holy shit.
Far Cry 2.
I was at Best Buy, and it was like a Guitar Hero World Tour warehouse. Yeah. That happened to be selling camcorders.
Hey, Scoops.
Hey, ooh, Scoops.
It just keeps going.
Far Cry 2.
Oh, right. Fuck it.
Shit!
God damn it.
Hot Scoops.
You're seeing Goatsy.
I'm just going to let that one slide, I guess.
Everything to me is a Goatsy.
Wavy lines appear and something turns into a guy with a prolapsed anus.
You will blow you away.
Jesus.
Yeah. Snappy gamer.
Snap, snap.
Ha ha! Whoa! Man, and a duck call is also present. We have replaced Steve with Dr. Spatzo laughing.
All right, I'm going to use a seg here. Check it.
One of the things I do really enjoy just generally is game mechanics that are really accepted, sort of translating them into more literal versions of what they are. Sort of.
Is it next week yet right now?
No.
No.
Okay.
More next week.
And now the exciting conclusion of Idle Thumbs 11.
This is Idle Thumbs 11-2, and I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
I'm Jake Rodkin.
And we are still joined by Steve Gaynor, who joined us last week and is still
and continues to join
here. This was recorded 2 weeks ago at this point.
So yeah, Chris, I believe you left us hanging last week with some sort of information.
Yeah, this is not actually exciting at all. I was just going to say.
Good thing you didn't reveal that until now.
I didn't originally intend for it to be like
we're
a week
long.
We're
still hanging off of the cliff. They're still dangling from the cliff. Save them.
Who?
The readers who were involved
with
the cliffhanger.
Go. Do it. I want to know this fact.
It's not. Okay. So basically, I was just saying I really like when mechanics that are sort of accepted as just sort of par for the course and a given in games, I like just the idea of sort of completely subverting them in weird ways. Actually, some games actually do that sort of, or just make them more apparent. Like in God Hand, the fact that when you kill a dude, sometimes he will actually turn into like a 3D rendering of a fruit. Like to me, that's, I don't know.
Yeah,
I really,
a giant Pac-Man fruit.
Exactly. Like an actual like set of cherries or whatever.
Yeah.
But I remember Jake and I used to always talk about sort of the implication of Half-Life, that Gordon Freeman might in fact just be sort of a really weird, like sociopathic mute killer who only like who has no sense of sort of like moral consideration of any kind.
Gordon Freeman is basically actually just like Jason Voorhees.
Right, exactly. Like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, he goes around, he doesn't say a word to anybody.
Right, that guy's
he's
clearly
shepherded
just fucking
down.
Covered in blood the entire game. You can't see yourself. It's like, oh, there's Gordon Freeman. Don't have much to say, do you? He's just always holding weaponry. Just, right. I don't know.
He comes up to someone, he's holding a fucking bloody crowbar. Probably has guts and shit on it. Like, he just beat people in the fucking skull for like 4 hours.
Just like, hey, Gordon!
Well, they don't want to piss him off.
Right. Hey,
this
Gordon!
Guy, like, no. This guy comes up, right. You're like, oh, hey, Gordon.
In,
how's it going?
In episode 3, the source engine will up its fidelity to the point that you can actually see the beads the of fear. Sort of nervous sweat and the fear in the eyes.
It's like an EA Sports game when
the weird super sweaty football guy, the rubber mask Uncanny Valley guy.
Yeah,
it's going to be weird. Half-Life 2 Episode 3 is going to fucking blow you away.
IGN.com. Yeah, but, I don't know. I mean, who the fuck is this guy? Like, you go through these games, you have essentially no agency or free will. Like, you're entirely...
He's a hero, Chris. He's an American hero.
I guess he is.
He's a object of love interest desire.
Yeah. Well, that makes it way creepier. She fawns all over this fucking fucked up, killing, like, psychopath.
Oh, Gordon, you just got out of this radioactive canal where you just beat up 300 zombies. Like,
you're dripping in radioactive waste.
Right.
Like,
I just want to stand near you, apparently.
It's so dreamy how you pin that guy to the wall with a red-hot bar of rebar.
Safe place is probably behind him, so.
Yeah, that's true.
And yet she runs around with her auto pistol, unlocking doors with a laser. right in front of my crosshairs. I forget. It's been a really long time. Can you even hurt her at all?
Or no, he will lower his crosshairs for her.
But if you press the button, does it shoot a
bullet
at her? Man,
that's like the crazy psycho killer who has like a dog that he really loves or right. something that he like won't hurt.
Whoa.
You know, but he'll
a
just...
misogyny from Chris Remo of Gamasutra.com there.
Well, no, it could also be a lady.
It could be like a, you know...
Talking equivalents here? What's up with you guys?
Just saying. You know, Gordon Freeman might actually be completely fucking
crazy. He doesn't know what Alex Vance is.
This guy's brain is warped.
Like some animal.
I mean, she might look like a shimmering, you know, like
It's a form that stops moving when he does what he wants to it.
Oh my god! Jesus.
I like that. Of crossing lines. Yeah.
Well, that's what a true sociopathic like murderer is. It's like, oh, there's something is moving around. I think I'll cut part of it off because it's not a real thing to me. And that's your vision of Gordon Freeman.
I guess it is.
His voiceless blood covered.
So I hope
massage.
You're listening, Valve.
Yeah, I actually really like the Half-Life games. I think Steve's not as big a fan. But
I mean, they're well done. They're just, you know, super linear.
Yeah,
it's like any really linear focus game where I see it as actually kind of being a risk to do a very, very particularly authored game, because it's like, well, the people who like it are going to be on board, but if you don't like the very exact thing that the designer is making you do, then you're just going to sign out. Whereas if a player has more agency, they have more freedom to make their own fun out of the game that you've given them. You know, like, oh, I'm not really into the story of Gordon and Alex and the super portal and everything, well, then you're not going to like this game whatsoever, because all you get to do is kind of run forward through these rooms and see that story, you know?
Unless you're me.
Well, no, but I mean, if you're psyched on it, then
no,
it's perfect.
I mean, as much as I like games that give you the opportunity to do lots of stuff and are super high agency, I really don't mind basically... sitting next to a game designer and say, tell me a story, and I will sort of help play through it. Like,
yeah. But I mean, it assumes
you're right.
That
if you don't like the story, but that said, if you don't like the systems present in an open world game, you're not gonna enjoy to create your own story any more than if you don't like the crazy Half-Life thing. Whoo!
I guess, but I mean, like, and
in summation,
a linear authored story has a whole lot less, you know, a lot less play to it than a system that you kind of put inputs into it and stuff happens, you know. Like, systems are reactive, whereas a story is static. And so if you really like that static thing, and obviously a whole lot of people like the one object of entertainment that the Half-Life series gives them, then that's cool. But if you don't like the story in GTA, you can still like the open world going crazy stuff and enjoy the game.
I think it's a fair point, and I think that is one of the downfalls of the Half-Life 2 and episodes, is that they do more so, I think, than Half-Life 1 feel very controlled in that respect. But I will say the thing that I like about the Half-Life games, and I love them, and I think they've been getting better since Half-Life 2, to the point that I think Half-Life 2 Episode 2 is the best one in the Half-Life 2 series. But I will say the thing that because it's different, you know, different.
You
look pained 11, when I said that.
It's just a goofy thing. The Half-Life 2 series. I mean, it's just goofy.
It is kind of goofy. Whatever. I don't care.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. So,
Thumbs 11 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Idle Thumbs 11 series.
Yeah.
Way better.
There are no innocents here.
Yeah.
Look what we've done.
So, but I will say the thing that I like about the Half-Life games is, they sort of explore a different thing about games that I like, which is less about sort of your own sense of agency and kind of impact on a world, and more sort of just the entirely purely video game thing, like nothing to do with sort of the idea of a game as it's traditionally existed, but purely the video game notion of allowing the player to sort of just exist in a narrative that continues in the same sense that you might in a film or sort of a book or something. But we're doing this in a way that we have to do things that, you know, create that illusion of you being funneled along. Like, without...
Did you say you being fondled along?
Funneled.
Okay.
But, you know, fondled too.
It sounded like there was a D.
There's a game designer sitting next to you, fondling you. Or not. Okay.
That's the situation that Nick's in right now.
Well played. Steve just fondled Steve him a bit. It was pretty good. Yeah.
Anyway,
and I was just going to say, I like all the stuff that Valve does where you can, if you're not sort of explicitly looking for it, you don't notice. But when you do start explicitly looking for it, you notice the little things they try to do that draw your attention in a specific way, sort of just little things that will happen in the corner of sort of the screen that cause you to look around and then see an interesting thing that happens. Obviously, that's all scripted, but it's stuff that's sort of a specific aspect of level design and scripting, I guess, that is sort of more particular to a more on-rails game.
It is kind of the stuff we were talking about a couple weeks ago when Chuck Jordan was on the show, but it is... Like, I mean, those Valve games are basically taking a lot of the same stuff that they do to make you look at the right way on Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, those Half-Life games are, in a way, like the most extreme theme park rides ever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
That's one of the things that I like about those games. Yeah. It is just a corridor of narrative that you progress down.
Yeah. And, I mean, it can use a lot of techniques from film a lot more directly than some other kinds of games can, because if you can assume a lot about sort of what's going to be on the player's screen at any one time, you can do stuff like, oh, and sort of in this area, we're going to put something that makes you look up and to the right, you know?
Yeah, they do a good job of making you feel like you're the person who's doing it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway. No, yeah.
And, yeah, it's funny, actually, that that this comes up, I guess. This might be a little out of date now, Left 4 Dead, because it's been out for, I don't know, a month now or so, but...
Ugh.
Like a month and a half.
Nobody plays multiplayer games for more than a month.
Well, that's sort of true, you'd think, by looking at server counts these days. But, I mean,
these
not Left 4 Dead
back
specifically.
Back in my day.
Well,
for Left 4 Dead?
No, I'm not talking about Left 4 Dead.
Oh,
I'm just saying generally,
like
a lot of multiplayer...
No one plays that shit anymore.
Yeah. Fuck you.
World of Warcraft.
Like Team Fortress. Nobody plays that. Like Warcraft. Nobody plays...
Listen to your fucking face.
I'm just saying, you know...
Wow.
The
you
overwhelming...
So much contempt.
No, it's true. Like Halo.
Yeah.
God damn you.
Fucking Call of Duty. Right. Call of what?
Anyway.
Yeah, what?
I bet there's less people playing SOCOM now than used to.
Yeah.
But no, I know what you mean. If it isn't a game that's a like super AAA multiplayer game, it dies off quick. Well, that's not always true.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sort of smaller games that get released from independent developers.
I mean,
that if you're an independent developer and you make a multiplayer game that doesn't turn into Counter-Strike, nobody's ever going to play it.
There's a lot of larger
games.
TF2
is a great game, but the community for that is I mean, there's less people playing it all the time.
Yeah.
Every day.
And like Far Cry 2, not that that's a multiplayer game that I was...
Sorry, I want to make a PSA about
good work.
That.
Yeah.
But like, you know, just on another note, like there are a lot of games like where people do put in a lot of time and money into the multiplayer, and I kind of wonder why. Not because it's not necessarily good, but because you know it's not going to stick around. Like Crysis was like that, Far Cry 2. I remember Nick and I talked to the multiplayer designer in that game, and it's like it's cool that you know they gave you a team and a budget to do this.
Is that really just so there's a huge bullet on the back of the box, and so that the cover says live multiplayer? I mean,
but does that really? Do you really need? I think games
that
like
that is.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, like oh sweet. Yeah, I mean, I think
that you'll probably see things like, I don't know, like when the executives go back and look at something like, you know, Mirror's Edge, and they'll say, well, what was missing? You know, I think that might be like one assumption that they did.
Yeah, but there's this like abstract, the abstract concept of multiplayer for a lot of players is sort of a buy or don't buy issue.
Yeah,
where it's sort of like, I would have bought it.
That seems so outdated
to
me now.
It didn't have multiplayer, so I didn't want to buy it because I would just finish it.
I guess
we never play it again.
It seems like, especially with
does it multiplayer
with live around? It seems like that would be a thing that people would.
But
if they're never going to use that,
IGN, you're out here like automatically, you get like more than 5 points on the replay value just because they're multiplayer.
That's
you know?
A good point.
It actually
does
guarantee that your score will go up.
Yeah, that's horrifying, but true. Yeah,
no, I mean,
a good component.
I know what you mean because there are some games where it's like, wait, multiplayer really? Like, I mean, and I don't know. I mean. I don't know what it is because it's practically the same risk as making a single player game. Like in any situation, it's sort of like you try to make something you hope lots of people want to play, see if it happens or not. Like for games,
you're
don't
guaranteed
catch on
to
whatever.
Be making two games rather than just one.
Right,
that's still going to be more expensive, and you're still going to charge the same price for it.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
yeah,
it just
it's,
seems
it's
to
true,
me
but,
like
but
the
I mean like a good
so many half-assed multiplayer
and a lot of games that are even known for their single player campaign are actually designed as multiplayer games first, and then they make a single player campaign out of it. Like in some ways, it's actually lower impact to make the multiplayer the focus of your project.
Just as sort of a gameplay prototype type of thing?
Well, as far as like, this is what all our mechanics are going to be.
Right.
And we'll end up with a good suite of mechanics that are useful for having interesting multiplayer matches. Oh, and then we can make a bunch of, you know, boxes with AIs in it, and you can use those mechanics against them. We put some story in it, now we've got a single player game. I think when you plan it out right, it's not sort of like, let's just make two completely separate things. It's mm-hmm. twice the work, and
but
nobody like, might
but
play
you
them
do
all.
I feel like
the common business model these days
it really
seems to be like there are actually two teams. Like at Ubisoft, they take that to the literal extreme and develop the multiplayer in a different location.
It's
and
true.
Then,
yeah, and I mean, but I don't know. I think that a lot of times, really, from what I've noticed, the really successful multiplayer games are
The good ones.
Yeah. No, but they're developed like, you know, I don't know, like as far as I'm aware, stuff like Gears of War and Halo and Call of Duty 4, their initial design is the multiplayer, and then the same team that designed the multiplayer makes a single player.
That's true. Campaign. And I mean and then obviously the other really successful ones are the ones that are purely multiplayer. But anyway, this is funny because this wasn't even actually my point that I was originally talking about. I got sidetracked by Jake. But the thing that I was going to talk about was Left 4 Dead.
Noise.
Was
sounds.
Now I forget again.
Left 4 Dead?
Oh, yeah, Left 4 Dead. So,
oh, is that the game with zombies in it?
I think it has a zombie in it, yeah.
Like a lot of them. That time ago.
I know, it's like it's like a million years.
I like that game.
Yeah, the multiplayer was good.
Yeah,
I shot a zombie in it, I think. Wait, was that game? It's been so long. Sorry.
God damn all of you.
So no, seriously, Left 4 Dead is a game.
It's a game, I think. And so the
you
thing I was going to bring up is that
out of your
going, yeah, I am. Going from sort of just the discussion on Half-Life in regards to sort of what you're saying about the like it being more possible, obviously, to use filmic techniques when you're in that sort of on rails kind of theme park like experience. The interesting thing about Left 4 Dead is when I first went up to Valve to play that game, which was, I think, 2006, like, might have been early 2007, I don't really remember. The way they were kind of describing it to me was they're so accustomed as Valve to making games like that, where they do have a lot, they have a lot of knowledge at any given time of where the player is, what the player is doing, basically the direction the player is going in, or at least a fairly small space they could be in. And they... when they make a multiplayer game, like, for example, Team Fortress 2, which is what they were deep in development in at the time, they're talking about how much harder it is from sort of a just conceptual standpoint, moving from that from sort of that single-player thing to that multiplayer thing. It's just a very different type of design, especially geographically and sort of in levels and so forth. And they were sort of discussing ways to make it sort of allow them to carry some of those single-player skills over. And a lot of that was what resulted in Team Fortress 2's sort of the level system with the checkpoints where the level kind of contracts and kind of shifts and they try to sort of direct the flow of the game in different ways depending on which team is doing better and so forth like that. Like a lot of that came out of trying to sort of grab some of that momentum you get in their single player games where there's you're always kind of being quickly encouraged to keep the pace up.
Yeah.
And then Left 4 Dead was like sort of trying to push that even further.
Yeah, it was like clearly another evolution of that.
Right, exactly. Where they have like an actual AI director that very explicitly tries to simulate the idea of having sort of a knowledgeable entity there that knows where you are and is trying to react to what you do and create an experience that essentially has that same effect.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
It's trying to judge how to make games that have sort of the same impact as a single-player scripted sequence, but sort of based on the individual multiplayer's position and what's happened recently and stuff like that. It's impressive how it works because you do start to feel like the director is an entity in the
who's
world.
Like out to get
it makes you not want to look down like the alley that's slightly off the path because like they're gonna see that there's nothing there, and then when I turn around, it's gonna rape me through that hole that I just looked at. Oh my!
Wow.
Left 4 Dead.
Go
it's
get
gonna
raped
rape you through
that
a hole.
Wow, we've all said it.
IGN.com. In like 15 years when just like the general populace's vernacular is just like, you know, a few more degrees more vulgar than it already is, like that's what it'll say on the front of the box. This game's gonna rape you through the hole, IGN.com. Like, fuck, are you, blowing your head off or whatever they said
are
before.
You implying that IGN.com will be around in 15 years?
Well, they're News Corp.
They've probably been around for 10 years now.
Yeah, they have. Jeez. I think they were 97 or 98.
Yeah. Wow. That's weird to think of a website having been around for 25 years.
Yeah. Someday that will be true.
Yeah.
Idle Thumbs 25th anniversary.
We're actually recording that podcast right now in advance because we're probably going to be out of town that week. So
podcasting advance.
Yeah. Recording the next 30,000 podcasts tonight. It'll be sweet.
That's sure what it feels like.
I hope
like.
This podcast isn't just dismally out of date. Like, wouldn't it suck if like Electronic Arts went out of business, like the government didn't bail them out or whatever, you know, like
wait,
last
is that
week.
Part of the economic stimulus package?
Yeah.
Madden.
Well, yeah.
The Madden.
Activision Blizzard, like
John Madden.
The server
John Madden himself is bailed out.
The World of Warcraft server shut down. And
no, I'm down in here.
I'm pretty sure that happened.
I think it might have happened. So yeah, that was crazy. I mean,
do you
want to
predict some things that might happen over the next 2 weeks?
Let's predict some things. Yeah. So what do you think happened?
Yep.
I think there will be a new video of a cute dog uploaded to the internet between now and then.
Oh man, could be.
Yeah, watch the internet for that.
Yeah, watch.
Start
it.
Refresh your web pages to see if that happens.
That reminds me, Nick. You were going to talk about some machinima thing, machinima.
Yeah, I guess.
Machinimi?
Makamina.
Makanimuk?
Like, play in a Zelda game?
That was that dance.
Hey, Makamina.
I predict in 15 years there will be a dance called the Makinima. Everyone is like really stilted.
Yeah, they'll perform it at like the Democratic National Convention.
Howard
Dean. Or was it the Republicans? I don't remember who did that. Someone did the Macarena.
Wait, what?
They did the Macarena at a convention?
Yeah, it was really sad.
When was this?
When it was the thing that people
like
did.
Like in 2000 or something?
It was like 96.
96? Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe Dole did it. I would not be surprised if Dole.
Probably Dole. Yeah. Check your YouTube.
I want to see that video.
Check your local YouTube.
Holy shit. So anyway,
it's like I'm watching Conan.
Didn't he do
O'Brien
a backflip in a Viagra
ago.
Commercial one time or something?
Maybe. He did a Viagra.
It was Wire Foo.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. It was after the election.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
That's not all he needed.
Man. Anyway. We've replaced the regular Idle Thumbs cast with Jay Leno. Let's see if anyone notices.
Still
I heard
noticed.
There was a. I heard there was a funny headline in a newspaper. Did you guys see that? It was
fuck
hilarious.
You. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. It will rape you through a hole. We replaced you with Jay Leno from 2025.
So guys,
he's a weird
you see
robot.
This headline today? It'll rape you through a hole. Hey. Oh, what a funny guy. Anyway,
yeah,
you have a story,
a robot
right?
Inhabiting Jay Leno's skin. He died 15 years earlier.
It's his severed Futurama head.
Yes.
Isn't that guy retiring, like, next year or something?
I thought he was retiring to, like, a daily... What the fuck are we talking about?
He's going to be on before Conan.
Don't you like video games?
Well, still. Yeah, video games. Yeah.
Talk about in-engine developed cinema. Wait, what?
Speaking of Futurama, Machinima.com, they got like a $3.5 million investment. This is
from who?
This is a site that just does.
Who would invest all that money in Machinima?
I have no idea. It's
recording videos inside your video games is the future.
Yeah.
Wait, who do you know who invested? Was it venture capital?
It was venture capital.
Because those guys are sometimes dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
With their dollars.
Yeah. So they took that money and now they hired 15 various comedy writers.
Like Jay Leno.
No, like Mike Rowe, who is the guy
from QVC?
Yeah, the QVC guy. Well,
what?
Now he does the... Anyway.
The hell? What?
What does he do now?
What is a QVC guy? Like, I mean, I know what QVC is. It's
like
home shopping.
Job show on Discovery now.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was on QVC and he used to make fun of all the products and the hilarious videos you can watch.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
On the internet. One of them. On YouTube.
Now the other 14 guys are just like TV writers and like they run The Simpsons and Family Guy and stuff like that. And so now they're...
What games are they going to use?
I don't know. Probably World of Warcraft.
Like you're going to have a dude who wrote for Futurama have a little Master Chief dancing around?
Well,
like that seems retarded.
Gary's
the writers are going to write it and then the Machinima.com
is
going to actually produce everything else.
Oh.
So it's like their script and then they're going to do... So it could turn out like really horrible.
Why would you do that?
Hey, Machinima.
It will still be voice acted by members of their forum.
The first one.
Yeah. you can submit that one,
like, World of Warcraft. I mean,
there might be something
the
that I'm
there's a Macarena dance.
There might be something I'm missing about Machina Ma, but like it seems to me that
Bucky Ma?
Machina Ma?
Oh, Ma.
It seems
Jesus.
It seems to me the main sort of purpose of it is to allow people who have absolutely no access to sort of real, like, professional animation or sort of the ability to hand animate something thing. Like, so that they can do a funny thing or they can make jokes about a specific game that people have played the game will get. What's the point of having someone who has professionally written for a network syndicated television show to do that?
Press release, it's pretty clear what they think. They think this is a way to, like, tap into this demographic. By
the 20,000 people on the internet who watch.
Right, I mean, it's like
they're going, oh, that was popular, so let's
that wasn't Machinima. That was like actual South Park.
Well, like that's why, like Red versus Blue.
Yeah, I mean, Red versus Blue seems to me like a very sort of specific thing where it's like we're specifically joking around with Halo.
But you know, like you liked that video maybe as either you, Chris Ramo, or you, hypothetical reader, that was that story of the pyro from TF2.
Oh, the pyro! Yeah, that was actually really funny. I thought, but I mean.
Like, those guys have made a ton of shorts.
You know. Oh, are the other ones good?
I've only seen that one.
Yeah, they have.
I think really what this is doing is answering the question of what happened to people who didn't get hired back after the writer's strike.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It was a pretty eclectic group. One of the guys wrote for Coach.
I remember that show.
Yeah.
That show was on after shows I wanted to watch.
Who's that, Craig T. Nelson?
When I was in high school.
And Dick Van Dyke? Or Jerry Van Dyke.
Jerry Van Dyke, Coach was always that show that was like between the two episodes of The Simpsons on syndication.
And episode at like 7 p.m.?
Yeah. 6:30, Simpsons. 7, Coach, do your homework during this half hour. 7:30, The Simpsons.
I used to watch Coach.
It ran for 9 seasons. And I noticed, never mind.
He brought that up like 4 times during the break.
It's crazy. It started like 1989. Like,
that show ran until 1998.
You run coachfan.info?
Yeah.
Oh man, we have
speaking of .info.
Yeah. We have
as a seg.
Two brand new it's a great seg. We have two brand new URLs. One of them is wonderboner.com. No,
wonderboner.info.
Wonderboner.info, which is really
Bonesfish.
Amusing. A Bonesfish, yeah. If you listen to two edcasts, I can decide whether to say episode or podcast.
It's an edcast.
Edcast. Edcast 11-2. The most baffling combination of syllables you'll ever hear. We talked about the Wonder Boner a couple weeks ago. And so one of our forum guys registered wonderboner.info. Do you guys remember who it was?
It might have been Pancake Humper.
I think it was. I think Pancake Humper, who also brought us 8bitcock.com.
So he's got a theme going there.
So this is a good dude. And then the other one is it goodseg.com?
Something like that, yeah.
Or nice seg. I'm going to go check. You guys talk while I'm doing that.
It's good seg. I remember it.
Yeah, it's good seg.
Do you remember who registered it?
I never had that information.
Okay.
You're a guest.
I'm going to go check it out. You guys keep talking.
What? That's a stupid thing to do, is just say, hold on, I'm going to go to my computer during this podcast. I'll be right back, guys. Hold on.
Thumbs. I don't know. Maybe we should all just start screaming into the microphone so Chris can see this in the waveform.
Boost! So,
we're going to now cast the pod into your face.
So I just went and checked up.
I forgot about that slogan, though, right now. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a good slogan. I went and checked up on the URLs, and there were three new URLs. These actually were ready last week, and we forgot to mention them on the podcast. Nice. So we got goodseg.com, seg with our weird...
Apparently that's a segue.
I guess that's,
Like, transitioning.
Now, on our podcast, that's what it means. And goodseg.com was created for us by Soupface. Yeah, it's spelled good and then S-E-G, in case you're wondering. He's got the phonetic...
That's a weird spelling for soup face.
Hey! And he's a new forum registrant, so welcome to that guy. We have wonderboner.info, Bonesfish, thanks to Pancake Humper.
Click on it. It's a really funny
read. It is really funny. And he's registered stuff for us before, so thanks, buddy. And then finally, we have riprollickingride.com from Erky. So... There we go. A new slate of URLs to add to our...
Where does the Rip Rollicking Ride come from?
It's just
Did you guys refer to a game as being that?
The Idle Thumbs UK podcast was declared a rip-rollicking ride.
And I think it's come up once more since then. I don't
That's often enough to get a goddamn domain out of it.
Hell yeah. You fucking know it. So thanks, guys.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that we, for some reason, have a readership that just like buys us URLs.
Well, you guys started it.
I know, but I mean, I didn't necessarily expect.
Did we? StrategyChocolate.biz. Oh, no, was the
we didn't start
one,
it. Yeah,
and the that
first,
was
oh,
not
really?
Us. Yeah.
Oh, so you guys didn't buy VGVGVG.com.
We did, but that was weeks
that,
after
that was,
the first
that was
one.
Well after Explode Mode and Strategy Chocolate existed.
Yeah, you guys didn't make Explode Mode. Oh, okay. I thought you did.
No.
Nor Strategy Chocolate.
Nor 8-bit cock.
Yeah. Anyway, it's pretty awesome that this happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yes.
Epic amount of redirects. Yeah. Good work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a lot of good Segway enthusiast hits.
You mean Seg?
Yeah.
Because it's not even spelled like.
It's like a Seg enthusiast.
Yeah. It's not even spelled like Segway. It's literally just truncated.
SEG.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good Seg.
All right. Anyway.
I mean, like the machine.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to come to our website. The Wonder Boner, though, hopefully we get the people who are looking for Wonder Boners.
And Wonder Boners. Because
it bones fish. And Wonder Boners.
Oh, man, I saw that infomercial for Wonder Boners. What's there's their website? Is it wonderboner.info? Let me try that
first.
I'm
looking for information about it. So that's what the dot info people are hoping and praying for every day.
Wait, maybe it's wonderboner.tv. I saw it on TV.
Maybe it's wonderboner.museum. That exists, right? Maybe there's a museum. Man, maybe now someone will register wonderboner.museum.
They would probably have to register as some sort of museum.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, oh well. If you do that, that would be amazing. Yeah. If you create a museum.
Your new challenge is to get us a .museum TLD that points to this site.
Is that an actual
expression? Yeah, it is.
There's
a dot museum.
Are you for real?
I'm for real. I am for real, Steve. Hot Scoop Scanner.
If there isn't a dot museum, we apologize. Dot name will suffice.
I've never seen one that was more than four characters, like info.
It might be Musy, but I'm pretty sure it's museum.
You know Musy.
I remember seeing like the press release a couple years ago where they're like, you need this if you have museum because everyone's going to be typing it in. Like, I don't think so.
Just put a .com after whatever.
Yeah.
It's actually the people who own museum.com.
Like, I mean, because I'm pretty sure if you
which
told...
Which is CNET, probably.
If you had your museum guide tell someone, oh yeah, find us at, New York.museum. Like, so they would just go and put a com at the end.
So you mean www.newyork.museum.com.
Or newyorkmuseum.com.
Right. That's like a dash, New York dash museum. Right. Idlethumbs.museum.
Museumcom.com. Idlethumbsmuseumcom.com.
Goaty.cx.
Whoa. Nice seg. So one of the things.
Press the stop button on your iPod now.
So basically the main way that we're going to use all the stuff you guys sent us for Free Game of the Year is actually putting it up on GOTY.CX. And by the time you hear this, that might have already happened or started to happen because we recorded this 2 weeks ago, as you know by now. So maybe the website already has stuff. But what we are going to do is read some excerpts.
This is a message through time.
It is. It's crazy.
Something might have already happened.
It's like a magical time. So, yeah, these are just some of the things that people wrote in about some games. I'm going to start.
Wait, I mean, should we explain what's going on here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, for those of you who might not have known, we decided to have we decided that GOTY.CX would be a hilarious name for a Game of the Year awards.
And
we decided to have Game of the Year. We didn't really know what that entailed, so we just told people to tell us what their Game of the Year was or a notable game from this year and why it was cool. There was no real structure. I don't think there's any sort of actual thing going on. But Goaty.cx.
We wanted to hear what your Game of the Year was.
Yeah, we wanted to hear from you.
So people wrote in, and now we're gonna see what some of our readers' Games of the Year picks are.
Yeah.
.cx. So get ready.
So I'm gonna start off with an Idle Thumbs classic. You might have heard of it. It's called Far Cry 2.
What? Did that come out?
I think that came out this year. I think it was a game of this year. Yeah. It was a multiplayer game that came out as a DS exclusive.
I don't think I've heard of it.
Was that from the makers of Far Cry?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, what does this reader have to say? Oh. Hmm. Yeah.
This reader says, Far Cry 2, perhaps the most authentic gaming experience I've had in years. At every point during this game, I fully believed I was a dude looking for the jackal in whatever way I thought was best. There are certainly some frustrations, e.g. getting run over by a random dude in a Jeep driving to a spot for 15 minutes, but the rest of the game transcended those frustrations. And actually, earlier in this email, Derek pointed out a big deal for him this year was authentic gaming experiences. That is, the something within the game experience resonated on a certain existential level, i.e. he believed his actions truly reflected some aspect of himself. And so his other games of the year were Silent Hill Homecoming and Left 4 Dead, which he also found to sort of exemplify that.
That's cool.
Yep. Let's see. Moving on. I'm just flipping some... Steve is making weird faces.
You're shuffling.
Yeah, I am shuffling.
You're shuffling into the mic. You can tell he's poring over your entries, dear readers.
Yeah. Judging you.
Yeah, we highlighted some like little brief excerpts. We're going to print these more in full on the website. But
probably.
So here we go. Brian Ellis suggests Mother 3. Hmm. He says, it may not count, but there's a lot that can be said about it. He says, in a year of disappointing, fairly bland next-gen JRPGs, this game quietly had an unofficial release, referring to the fan translation, and I honestly believe that much like Earthbound, this is a game that years from now, people will still recommend, regardless of whether they care about the narrow niche that JRPGs have become. Hmm. So that's cool. I actually kind of want to play this. I haven't, because it's got that whole fan translation thing going. I don't know. Have any of you guys...
Yeah, I downloaded it. And I patched it, and I entered my name and then never played it again. But I mean,
well, that wasn't what I was looking for.
You were able to comprehend the name entry screen, though.
Well, no, it appeared to be a full translation and quite well done.
Yeah, I've heard that it's good.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Hold on, wait. Am I going to be arrested now?
The Gaff police will arrest you.
Oh,
I'm sorry, buddy.
I have no other way to acquire this.
Acquire what?
The game.
What?
So
he's
I downloaded.
Talking
it.
About game piracy.
Oh shits!
Pirated ROMs.
Oh man! All right. So Matthew Gangles Gallant.
I tried it. I thought it was neat.
I believe you.
If they actually released it here, I would buy it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. One heartbeat.
Boop. Exactly. Cha-ching.
So Matthew Gallant writes, "No More Heroes. I thought this game was fantastic. It never stopped being surprising. It managed to top itself at every turn with a new wacky minigame, over the top boss battle, or ridiculous Wiimote implementation." I agree. That game was really fun.
Yeah.
It came out like a long time ago at this point.
Yeah.
Relative
February,
January,
to the February.
Year. Yeah. But yeah.
It would be on my personal list of goaties.
Of goaties?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was one of my favorite gaming experiences of the year for sure.
I actually did for Gamasutra a list of top gameplay mechanics of 2008. And
did you list the charge mechanic? Charge mechanic.
I gave that. I made a special section actually of
things
amusing.
To make you look like you're whacking off.
I had sort of a just general humor category in which I put that as well as sort of just like butt slapping each other in Army of Two. So.
Which I was listening to the podcast, and as someone who played all the way through the Army of Two campaign with a friend, I will note that butt slapping did not ship.
Yeah, but there was like the fist pounding.
There was dap.
Yeah, there were the daps. So that's,
hit me, bro.
There
and
you
then
go.
You would do a little fist punch.
Yeah,
for sure. And there was also air guitar, and you could sing to each other. This is not I'm not shitting you either, because one of the guys' names was Salem, and the other was I can't remember the other guy's name.
It's
but,
weird.
Huh?
No.
I think it was like his last name.
He declares it weird.
But if you were the other guy and you went and did your encourage action, sometimes it would roll him going, Salem, Salem, Salem. Like singing an ode to him.
It was so weird to me that game
totally
got made.
I don't know. I mean, co-op shooter.
I know, it's just funny.
Encourage one another.
Yeah.
You right. could also discourage one another, and it would randomly do a die roll between headbutting the other guy, punching him in the nuts, or like slapping him in the back of the head.
Sweet.
Video games.
Video games indeed.
That's one.
So next up, we
it's
have
only one of them.
Civilization Revolution on the DS. Civilization Revolution on the DS managed to do what I thought was impossible, a portable version of Civilization that was very true to its roots. It sucked me in just as badly as any PC version before it. And he talks about spending months in a foreign country where he didn't know anyone and had no internet access, and he basically played this all the time. So that's cool.
Instead of interacting with a real foreign country.
Oh, snap.
What?
So that's Mike Nowak, which he notes is pronounced Nowak. So next up, we got Burnout Paradise.
Man, hold on. I didn't mean that as a burn, so let's...
You didn't mean an extreme burn as a burn. Yeah.
I think it's funny.
I just burned that guy, but I didn't actually, you know. Burn.
I'm so hardcore that I burn people by accident.
I have no idea the actual details of that guy's circumstances in a foreign country.
Maybe he was imprisoned.
Maybe he was in prison and all he had was a DS and Civ Rev. It could happen. Who knows in those crazy foreign countries?
Did any of you guys play Civilization Revolution on the DS?
No. I played it on 360.
Yeah, I only played it on 360 as well. I heard the DS was really good. And they didn't really cut anything. Yeah, they didn't really
I heard that
lose
from
anything.
Noack.
Oh my god.
I mean, you know, according to like developers, it was actually literally the same sort of kernel that they just had a different presentation layer.
Huh. Yeah. I'm surprised they could pull that off. That's cool.
Well, the presentation layer on the actual menus and stuff on the 360 were Flash based, yeah. I believe. So they kind of just layered it on top.
Yeah.
All right, so next up we got Burnout Paradise. I'd never played a Burnout game before this, but I tried the demo and bought the game the next day. Since then, I've logged 400 hours in the game with DLC queued up for well into next year. I'll be playing this for a long time to come. It's a game that I would describe as a platformer, but your dude just happens to be a car. And that is Mark, a.k.a. Mar from NeoGAF.
That's an interesting characterization of the game. It's probably, I played the demo. It seemed like it was probably, kind of true. You're trying to ramp to get up to higher places and stuff, but you're driving a car around to do that kind of stuff.
I would say a more extreme version of that description would be either Trackmania on the PC, or Grip Shift on Xbox Live Arcade. Oh, yeah, both of which are super fun. I thought Grip Shift is like it's fun. It's so specific.
I played Trackmania
at what it does. Yeah, it's not dissimilar. It is dissimilar, but it's not. You know, that you can describe them both in that weird platforming
you
way.
You both go on like extreme tracks and
like
launch
flips
your car
all the time, like spinning
yards.
Around and shit.
Yeah.
Grip Shift is ridiculous like that. It's one of those games where it's like, this is a weird reference, but if you guys played, what was the GameCube Advance Wars spinoff? Battalion Wars?
Yeah.
It's like
the
vehicles in that, where the physics is just ludicrous and you can bounce around and shit and you'll always land with wheels down.
I never played that.
It's kind of fun.
Why would it have physics? Advance Wars? What?
Well, it was a 3D spinoff of Advance Wars.
Oh,
it was made by Kuju. It was like an action. It was sort of like from an action perspective, but you could still command. It was real time. It really didn't have anything to do with Advance Wars, other than that it was sort of a cutesy war.
cute war.
You know, cute wars.
Yeah. War of the adorableness. Destroyal.
Merrick Bronstring writes.
Look what you did.
It's okay. We know that guy. We can poop on his head. Metal Gear.
He's very tall, though. It'd be difficult.
And we will. This is
actually,
GDC.
Yeah. So. Oh, he has a question. This wasn't even a game.
So watch out for that, Merrick.
Sailed by. All right.
Oh, no. He says, I would vote for Little Big Planet for its light integration of user creativity and sharing with gameplay. I would love to see, for example, a shooter or strategy game where you can create your own basic levels and upload to the game's central servers where people can start playing it immediately instead of people releasing separate mods or maps. I mean, yeah. Warcraft 3 seems like the kind of thing where that could theoretically have existed, like in an alternate universe.
Yeah.
Any
Warcraft.
Yeah, but I mean, Warcraft 3 has like really spawned a huge mod scene. Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. Well, like Dota, all that stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Dota song. There have been some games that have tried to have the user-generated map upload thing be more integrated than like Warcraft 3, which is more like using the tools
and
stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. I mean, what, Bangaio Spirits? Sort of like
that game does a crazy thing. Are you guys familiar with how that game works?
No.
When you save your game in that, it creates like audio, and then
an audio file,
and you play that audio file. And then the game like interprets that data and generates the level based on it.
Yeah, you play like you save your game and upload it to the internet, and then your friend plays that sound and holds their DS
microphone
to it.
Oh, crazy!
And it listens to the sound and then translates the map that way. So you can upload a user map that you made as like a YouTube video and Your friend can just hold it up to the speaker and press play on it.
I mean, it's sort of really simple technology, but it seems like the future. Because it's so crazy. Yeah. It's such a weird thing. It's like, this is magically going into my system.
I mean, it basically said, if I heard the sound on like their demonstration
like
video.
A fax machine or something?
Yeah, it sounds like a modem connecting, sort of. But yeah, and they also had a really
awesome...
I mean,
it's awesome, how a modem works. It's what, like, it's what it's doing.
But they had an awesome...
The phones with, serial whistle.
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. It's like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the totally sweet... Like super lo-fi explanatory video that Atlus made for that, because they published that game.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, their U.S. Office made this really like totally sweet like late 80s corporate training style video with just like
awesome.
Four of their localization staff or whatever just got together like and were like, here's how the game works, and then there would be like a big star wipe or whatever, and then they like had a weird little script and they kind of it was like one of those whatever leaked Wendy's training videos that you've seen on YouTube, but to explain how this sound transfer tech worked. It was great.
That's really pretty good. Atlus is cool. It's funny.
Atlus is really cool.
They're
like,
awesome, yeah.
I mean, I can't say that I am an enormous customer of theirs.
Exactly, yeah.
But I love that they exist and what they do, because they just publish little weird, tiny
they
niche.
They have a great sort of mandate.
Today, it's...
Well, 2 weeks ago.
Word.
Yeah, all right. This is all new. It's called like the Dark Spirit or something. It's
Dark Spire.
Dark Spire. Yeah, it's made by Success. And
I love those Japanese companies. Create.
Yeah,
Success.
Yeah. And it's
Nude Maker.
Also them.
Yeah. But just very briefly, it's a first person RPG, but you can actually play it two different modes. You can either play it in the modern mode, which is sort of like, you know, fairly detailed graphical presentation user interface, or you can play it in like the classic mode, which looks like, you know,
an Apple II GS.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What kind of game is this?
It's basically
it's sound like Dragon.
It's basically like Wizardry. It's like Wizardry 5.
Yeah.
It's like a first person dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
You know, that you would see on the Apple II, and it would just basically be like four lines going in forced perspective away from the screen,
they
and then a dragon
that back,
sitting
like,
in the middle
with
of it.
Etrian Odyssey also.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And the thing is, it's awesome because you can be like, okay, we know you were a fan of, you know, whatever, playing Wizardry on your shitty computer in your bedroom when you were 10. But you don't have to deal with all of our fancy graphics. You can make it look like it's on 20-year-old hardware, it's all white text on a black background.
Because when it was announced, I saw they had like a comparison screenshot, and I was like, modern classic. I was like, is this a remake of a game that was already out?
It's like Matt Hazard.
I was like trying to find like the, you know, Apple IIe Dark Spire site or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of in the vein of like Mega Man 9 or whatever,
you know?
It's
really cool.
Where it's like, we're going to make a game that could have been released back then.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Is that genre like really popular with Japanese people? Because there's a lot of those made in Japan.
It is
now.
Weirdly, like Wizardry specifically.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard about this whole thing, but like the guy who originally...
I know of the Wizardry games.
Right. But I don't know this guy's name because I'm ignorant, but the guy who created the Dragon Quest series, that's the Japanese title for it, right? As opposed to Dragon Warrior? Or do I have that backwards? You know what I'm talking about.
Well, they're all called Dragon Quest now.
Yeah, yeah. So the guy who originally created Dragon Quest back in the 80s or whatever, like, he sort of discovered Wizardry back in, like, 1981, like, one of the, you know, original versions of it, and really, really loved the first-person dungeon crawling. And he based Dragon's Quest on, you know, Dragon Quest on that, like, the 8-bit versions or whatever.
Oh, crazy.
And basically... Wizardry and games that are just like it have a huge following, like, I guess, huge, like, devoted
relatively
niche
speaking,
following,
yeah, right.
In Japan, and they've actually continued making additional Wizardry games in Japan that haven't been released in the States because,
wait,
like,
they're actual Wizardry games?
Yeah, because a developer over there acquired the Wizardry license after fucking, what was it, SCI or... Strategy First or whoever.
God damn it. I feel like an idiot for not remembering, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
The guys who made and published Jagged Alliance and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, SciTech.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Snappy Gamer.
So, after those guys went out of business, a Japanese developer acquired Wizardry, and they've continued to make those games over there because they have this, like, really loyal following. It's crazy. And other games like Etrian Odyssey are basically filling that niche as well. And then Atlus weirdly publishes them in the States.
Yeah.
And it's like some crazy recursive shit going on.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they're cool.
Man, sweet. Look how informative that was. I feel so informed.
Yeah. Information was passed.
So, I'm
yeah,
filled with information.
Is that Goaty?
That's the Goaty.
The Dark Spire is Goaty.
Yeah.
What?
Cool. I'm glad we agree.
Dark Spire is Idle Thumbs Goaty 2008.
Hell yeah.
What?
Jake was apparently sleeping for the last 5 minutes.
Like, what's the Dark Spire?
I don't think that's the game of the year.
Jesus, you're dead. You're a dead
I'm
person.
I'm dead to you.
Yeah, well, and just physically.
Well,
apparently.
If you're going to shit on the Dark Spire like that, yes, you are.
I'm going to shit on the Dark Spire.
Are you now?
Goaty.cx.
Oh, there might be a Photoshop of Jake shitting on a Dark Spire.
Wow, there will not be that ever. Yeah,
we'll this podcast is completely unfurling.
Yeah.
I don't even know, and I forgot to turn on the timer, so I don't even know how long into this we are, like, or anything.
Nobody wants us to stop talking. They download this so they can listen to us. Let's just keep going.
Fuck yeah. Man, so this is kind of off topic, but like,
you're going
I was thinking the other day, I forget who I was talking to this about. Jake, actually, I think we're talking to you about yesterday, maybe, about sort of just like as I've gotten
older. You mean 2 weeks ago?
I mean 2 weeks ago minus a day, yeah.
Plus a day,
I'm sorry.
Jeez.
Our readers will definitely know that distinction.
Okay, whatever.
Kind of as I've gotten older for some reason, I seem to remember more games that I played like when I was younger, which seems like a really stupid thing.
Like Star Goose.
I don't think I ever know what you're talking about. What the hell's Star Goose?
I was talking about Startopia at work today.
What is Star Goose?
It's some CGA PC space game where you're a ship that's called the Star Goose. No, why would I
remember
a
there was
Goose?
I remember there was like Space Hen or whatever, like in Space Quest, like the game within a game that you always played in the arcades.
Star Goose is totally different.
Yeah, I know. What was that game? I don't remember. Steve knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You might have just said it correctly.
Space Hen.
Yeah.
It was not Space Hen.
Anyway.
I was just going to say, for some reason, I had this weird phenomenon of remembering all these PC games I played when I was younger that I just haven't thought about. Jake is looking at me through
this. No, I wasn't looking at you. All right. Go.
Like, that I just haven't thought about since I actually played them for the first time. You guys don't know, like, what is going on right now. Everyone who isn't me is, like, ducking around their microphones and shit. Like, I don't know what is going on right now.
Just tell your story.
You're making the story terrible.
You're making it terrible. No one cares that we're ducking around.
And one of the games I remembered playing for the first time in a long time was Dino Park Tycoon.
I played that.
Yeah, wasn't that fun?
That was great.
It was awesome. Like,
that was a great game.
It was like, yeah, it was like a classic tycoon kind
of
thing. And
game
you'd
of
hatch
the year.
Dinosaurs out of eggs and like set up the different pens with different animals in them, and you'd have to manage all the concessions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Also good was Jurassic Park Genesis, which was...
It's like an isometric thing. Like top-down isometric.
I played that.
Right?
I played the isometric. I was trying to think about that.
I'm saying I remember it.
Yeah.
I played that too, and I couldn't remember what it was. I was like, wasn't there a weird Jurassic Park game that wasn't first person or anything? It was like,
Anybody play True Lies on the SNES?
I definitely didn't.
No. Anybody play the Ghostbusters for the Commodore 64?
No.
Is it the same one as the Atari 2600?
What happened in that one?
It said Zool at the top of the screen the whole time.
yeah.
Really bad graphics.
And the keys were getting closer to the word Zool.
Yeah, it was crap.
And then when it got there, you had to go underneath the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's feet, who was jumping in front of a door.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really great.
Man, did you guys see the Guitar Hero clone that a dude made for the Commodore 64?
Yeah.
No.
It's pretty hardcore.
Wow.
It actually plays the SID files, like, with any... He made custom-made an adapter that allows you to plug in a PS2 Guitar Hero controller into it.
That
pretty
sounds
crazy.
Like an extreme human being.
Yeah.
Well, to, like, make a hardware adapter and program Commodore 64 software.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore.
That'll be in the scene.
Yeah. Oh, so anyway, about Dino Park Tycoon.
What
so
kind of scene?
That was
demos. You know,
That's not what the demo scene is.
The chiptune scene.
Kids these days with their Commodore 64s, their guitar toys.
Yeah. What the hell do you need color graphics for? I remember one time we were at Black and Green.
Dino Park Tycoon and Dark Spire.
Yeah.
So anyway, so back in the day, like I used to play Dino Park Tycoon with one of my buddies. Wait, what are you shaking your head for?
You're still on Dino Park Tycoon.
You just keep interrupting me. What do you want me to
Enough.
Do?
Enough.
So I was playing it. It was super awesome. It was really fun. And I actually kind of want to play it now. But anyway, so we used to play it all the time. And then
we got time.
I at a certain point moved to like a different town. And, you know, like years after we were best friends, like when we actually lived in the same town, went to the same school, and we used to go to each other's house and play computer games and stuff. And Dino Park Tycoon is one of the games we played all the time. And we'd hang out. This was like,
all
the stuff kids do too. We'd play around outside and whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you're a normal kid. Yeah. We all believe you.
Right. But I'm just, you know,
but
I'm
you
just
also played
it up.
Dino Park.
We also
Tycoon,
played
your
and
secret.
So the next, like years
you also
later,
spent weeks grinding the last puzzle in Indiana.
No, that was
Jones.
A totally different guy.
Oh.
And so, sorry. And so, I went back and like years later, I was in that town again for some reason. And I went back and like met up with this guy whose name was Matt. And we're like, oh man, it's so good to see you. Crazy. I haven't seen you in like a long time. And we just kind of stood around and like had nothing to talk about at all. Like it was the most awkward, horrible. Like, so,
and then you realize,
I think I've
acorn.
Got a copy of Dino Park Tycoon in the back of the
shelf. Like, no, it was way worse than that. It was just like, we sat there kind of like looking at each other for like a minute. Just like going like, yeah, so how's it going? Still living here? Yeah. Cool. Hey, remember like when we used to play Dino Park Tycoon? Yeah. Man, that game was fun. Yeah. Yeah. Played it at all since then? No, not really. Sweet. Well,
man.
It was really weird. That was like the only thing we could think of.
Butt pats
that, like,
were cut
still-
before this story shipped.
It was a really surreal moment. Like the only thing I could remember to bring up that we had in common was Dino Park fucking Tycoon. It was really strange and surreal. I haven't played it since then. I should go back and play it.
Great.
Well, the story would have been like 20 seconds long if you guys didn't like draw
hey,
it out.
I know that
like
feeling.
15 minutes. Yeah, I know. It happens to all of us.
Yeah. You were going to say the best of us, but then you
realized. I was going
to
say, but I realized.
Yeah,
yeah. I couldn't give you that mm-mm. distinction.
No. Don't deserve it.
No.
So is that all of our goaties?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of goaties. We're going to put them up on the website.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Do you guys have a personal game you would consider your goatee if you were to enter this goatee of the year contest?
It's a good question.
I mean, it was Fallout 3, hands down.
Yeah, Steve, I know you'd agree.
I'd made up my mind.
Yeah, I would have to say that Fallout 3 was the game experience of the year for my own personal, you know, time spent.
Yeah.
What about you, Jake?
I spent most of this year in a hole and only sort of started buying and playing games again once I started doing this podcast. So I'm just an asshole developer who doesn't play games.
Well, when the video game light particles flew out and hit your eyeballs, which were the ones that you liked the most? When you stuck your head up out of the dark hole and you saw a video game, what was the one that you thought was cool the most?
Steve, don't do this to me.
Was it Braid? I hear you can rewind time in that game.
Right now, I wish I could rewind time. Do you ever wish you could rewind time?
Man, Jake is not receptive to things right now. Jake wants to go back to his hole.
My favorite video game is Sleep.
That sounds pretty awesome. That's like one of those cool 80s simulators where you've got to, you know, like really dial into it.
But I mean, of the few games that I played this year, I don't know. I really haven't played much besides Braid, Left 4 Dead, Little Far Cry Planet, Theft Auto 4.
You did play all of those. I know this to be the case.
Anyway, I don't know. I like games.
Cool. Jake's game of the year.
I'd say my goatee would
like
be the internet.
2006.
Ah.
Yeah, it is like, there you go.
You are readers.
Whatever. If time can do it, so can you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if I really had to pick one, I would probably go with Fallout 3 also. And then I would give a sort of special mention to Far Cry 2. I would.
Idle thumbs.
I guess I'll just end it there.
What? Not that one. But not that one.
What's
video game?
Hey, you son of a bitch! That was not a sound effect. Well, it was, but it was from an ass.
Any sound
that
effect
was
that
not
Chris
a sound effect. Well,
well, if you want to really I just it. Produced it with my butt.
That was a burn, did you hear?
Yeah, I caught the burn.
You're the one who's like, I wish that could be anally produced or whatever. Like,
what was that? I did want a from a butt.
I can't believe we're putting three podcasts this week. That's preposterous.
Well, we can bullshit forever. Time, it was...
You managed to shit out three full podcasts this week. I just said that. You were shitting out of poo. I was not shitting out of poo. It was urine.